Thank you. Right, we're going to move on to the panel, and we're going to incorporate within that a bit of feedback from the groups, but I'll introduce the panel and our chair for the panel discussion. Firstly, our chair is going to be Charlie Spencer, who we all met earlier, who's head of prevention at the Youth Offending Service. We then have Sharon Moore, who's Principal Policies and Practice Manager at the Children's Society, and she's travelled all the way from London to be with us today. We then have Ian McGibbon, head of BASBU, which is Birmingham Antisocial Behaviour Unit, for anyone who doesn't know, like me. And then we have Douglas Paxton, a chief superintendent in the West Midlands Police Force. Okay, over to Charlie.
Okay, I think what we want to do first, because you've all had some discussions in your groups, and so if there's some initial feedback, I'm going to try and take some feedback, and also where there are implications, ask panel members to comment on that particular piece of feedback, or if you have, and then we'll look for specific questions to ask the specific panel members, and hopefully you get the responses or, you know, raise your awareness about that particular area. So I know there was yellow spots and yellow squares, and I'm not sure what else there was. There was reds and blues, right? Who wants to go first? So we go with the yellow squares, because they were the first group out the door. Anybody who was a yellow square, I'm not saying that you're a yellow square, but who had a yellow square on their tops. Anybody have any feedback from yellow squares? Yeah. Anybody?
One of the things we discussed was about the antisocial behaviour bill should only be in certain areas, like high crime areas, and not just for everybody.
Okay. I mean, that's an interesting point. Antisocial behaviour order or antisocial behaviour legislation should only be implemented in specific areas where it's a problem. Does anybody want to comment on that? Ian, would you like to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think for the, depending which bit of the bill or the act you mean, really, I think the dispersal groups one, I think that certainly will be only used in particular very localised areas. I don't see it being used, you know, across the whole city or across the whole or parts of the city. I think it will be very localised and very targeted to a particular location. If you're talking about the whole act and all its powers, then obviously I want to be able to use those wherever the antisocial behaviour occurs. But the actual dispersal of youths, of young people, I think will be only on very, very targeted areas around, say, for instance, around a range of shops or something like that where there's particular problems. I don't see it being used across a whole ward, a whole village or a whole street.
Okay, thank you. Douglas, do you want
to? Yeah, thanks, Charlie. There is perhaps a big issue here about accountability in utilising these powers. And I think in many regards, the police have got a massive responsibility invested in us by the community, and that includes young people, to use these powers reasonably and where it's proportionate. One of the difficulties I think we'll find is that in an effort to target the powers to the appropriate places, we find that communities have got a different threshold. So perhaps you can have some communities where they suffer very little crime and disorder, therefore their expectations are very high, therefore it doesn't take much to get them worried. And it can mean that young people and people generally experience different levels of police interventions based upon how tolerant the community around them are. Now, that's something that the police, the Crown Prosecution Service and the courts have to guard against. It's not necessarily something that the communities see for themselves.
Okay. Thank you. That was a good start, I think. How about spots? No, I was the spot, wasn't I? I was the yellow spot. what can I be? I think I had a large group of gents, large group of males, so it was a little bit more difficult to get us to talk because, you know, we don't talk as much up front. But one of the things that came out was about having somewhere constructive for young people to go. you know, something, and there was another comment made that, you know, rather than just having somewhere constructive to go, but there's lots of talk about, okay, we're going to set this up and set that up, but you know, either they never happen, or by the time they're set up, you know, young people have grown up and they don't want them anymore anyway, all the things change. So, I mean, I think that's a theme really that is of today. You know, young people feel that they want somewhere constructive to go. What I'm going to do as well is also give the panel members an opportunity to say from their own individual perspectives what they feel around the antisocial behaviour order, or not only, sorry, not the antisocial behaviour order, but the whole bill and the act. I'm going to bring Sharon in now. Sharon previously worked in Birmingham, so she does have extensive knowledge of Birmingham, but also lots of other cities. And I'd be interested in Sharon's point of view, having known that they've done a lot of campaigning around this area. Sharon.
Thank you, Charlie. The Children's Society is a charity, and we run projects with young people. And we think that the bill is very unfair. We think that government should have asked young people what they thought about it, but the bill was rushed through Parliament so quickly that nobody had a chance to say what they thought. Our concern is that whilst a lot of the powers aren't just about young people, the focus will be on young people. They will, because young people use the streets a lot. It's a place where, I'm telling you, you go, you meet your friends, and where you like to be. Partly because just you like to do that, but also because, as Charlie said, there aren't always that many places you can go that don't cost money, that are near where you want to be. And so we've campaigned a lot. We've tried to put stories in the media. We've done, we've asked young people ourselves what they think about the bill, and young people say what you're saying today, which is we think it's very unfair. We think we're being targeted as all that is wrong in society, all that's going wrong in communities, whereas that's not the case. You know, yes, there are problems, but they're not just about young people, and young people can help, and young people have got a lot to say. We're most concerned, I think, about the dispersal powers and the curfew powers, but it's a really important point to make that the police don't have to use those powers, and it doesn't mean that everybody who's on the street after 9 o'clock will be arrested. It's up to the police to use those powers wisely, as has been said.
Is there another one that we can take at this stage? Yeah.
Don't you think that young people that are excluded from school will, if they're excluded from school, will start behaving more antisocially? So really, by excluding them from school, you're just harming the community.
Okay. What I'm going to start with, Sharon. Sharon, there's three separate sort of questions. How will young people know what antisocial behaviour is and how they can behave? And if you could look at the issues around school exclusion, and then I'll come to Ian about his particular views in regards to the antisocial behaviour unit, and then I'll finish with Douglas and the police being approachable. Sharon.
Fine. Person who asked that last question has gone though, but I just wanted to say that we've got government to include in the guidance that will come out with the Act a requirement that the police should consult with the community and young people before they use these powers. So hopefully people will know if a curfew is being imposed, because hopefully the police will see it as good practice to talk to you first and then announce that a decision is made. I hope that's what will happen. Government have said it will happen, so fingers crossed, because I think it's a really important point. Moving on, what is antisocial behaviour? Well, the bill doesn't have a definition in it, and that's a big problem, and it's a problem for us, and it's a problem for you, because you know, there isn't a simple statement that says, well, this is it, and if you don't do this, you're going to be okay. And that's partly why we were so concerned about it too, because it's open to interpretation. People have different understandings of things, and that's why it's so important that the police talk to young people, and you know, that we get this right, because if the police powers are used badly, then lots of young people will be affected by them. And so I think it's partly, I'm not going to talk for the police, but about the police and the antisocial behaviour unit working with young people and with communities and your mums and dads and whoever else to try and sort this one out locally. School exclusion is a big issue. It was a big issue years ago when I used to work in the probation service in Birmingham and when I worked in youth justice in Birmingham. And I think it's wrong that young people are excluded from school and they're not offered a proper alternative to school, because I think you're absolutely right. Whilst being out of school doesn't cause you to commit crime, it means that you haven't got anything to do and you're out on the streets. It means you're not going to get a proper education and probably won't get your qualifications. And that means life's much more difficult for you when it's hard enough to get a really good job or the job that you want. And I've always thought it was wrong that you could be excluded from school and not offered another school place, and that you could drift on for months and years at times, maybe getting a couple of hours education a week somewhere else. And that's something else the Children's Society tries to do work on with government and tries to talk to education departments about, because we think you have a right. Well, the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child says you have a right to an education. And I don't think the policies that are being pursued around exclusion are helpful to young people. Young people need places in school, but they also need school to be a good place to be and a good experience for them, the way they feel valued and respected by adults and young people alike.
Okay. Could I just... I'm going to go to Ian in a sec, but could I just remind people what was said earlier on? This is a young people's parliament. And it is a building that we want to preserve for the benefit of all young people. So can we take feet off chairs, please? Thank you. Right, Ian.
Some good points. I think the one part of the Act which does say who must be consulted before one of these orders is taken out is that the local authority must be consulted, so the police can't do this on their own. And certainly from the antisocial behaviour unit's point of view, we see that there is a very great need to consult with all the community, because this is about helping the wider community to benefit from this. The actual dispersal itself and the use of the powers doesn't solve the problem, in my view. It can be used as a respite. It can give you some temporary feeling of well-being for the wider community, but it's only a temporary measure. This is not something that can be imposed forever. It can only be imposed for up to 6 months. So I see the implementation and use of this as being used to give a bit of breathing space and to provide an opportunity for meaningful dialogue to solve the problem. Because what we need to do, if the community finds and feels that the behaviour of groups of people, whether young or not, is unacceptable and not helping the community, we need to find a solution to that. So that's where I see this being used. The definition of antisocial behaviour, absolutely critical, very important, and as Sharon has said, it isn't defined. Can I give you any advice on that? Well, all we say to our team and to people we come into contact with, that antisocial behaviour is behaviour which is persistent and is of conduct which a reasonable person finds unreasonable. Now, beyond that, I can't give you any further help with that, I'm afraid, but that's why we tend to define it, and I think that's how the courts tend to look at it. I do agree with the point about exclusion. It is very important to include people, and if young people are on the street because they're excluded, then obviously, I think, as the questioner sort of intimates, then that is going to be a cause of antisocial behaviour or potential for antisocial behaviour. So I hope that we will be speaking to young people as a unit. My officers will be working with the youth inclusion and support panels, with youth groups, and we will be talking to people, because for us it's about solving a problem and giving people options and giving people choices. But the bottom line for us is there isn't an excuse for antisocial behaviour, and if it occurs and continues to occur, then it will be tackled.
Okay, and then finally we'll look at the final point around the police being approachable and being respected by young people, and young people be feeling respected by them. I think in my group, as well, there was talk about young people being challenged by police officers for the way they look rather than for their behaviour, which I think that sort of like feeds into the point made by the young man over here. Any comments, Douglas?
So much about of this is about communicating. It's about appreciating other people's desires and wants, and we do spend as much time as we can trying to give officers the opportunity to learn about different communities, remind ourselves about the needs of young people and the best ways of communicating. Now, there are occasions when young people can help us in achieving that, and we're trying to, again, do all we can to help you have that understanding. We spent a lot of time and money over the past year developing a new package, an interactive CD-ROM package for our work in schools. It's called Trouble, and it is about sharing an understanding of what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, and as importantly, what will happen if anyone breaches the unacceptable. I would like to see officers more and more aware of the effect that they have with anyone that they come into contact with. And part of that is about training, and part of that is about becoming more professional as police officers. But remember, you also set the tone the first time you come into contact with the police. We're all human. We determine the outcome of a discussion jointly. So I just ask you to bear that in mind when you're thinking about, well, how is this discussion going with a police officer? You've also got control over the tone and content of that discussion.
Okay, we've probably got 10-15 minutes left of this part of the morning. I want to shift the focus slightly now. I want to shift the focus into solution rather than into, right, we know what the issues are. We know that, you know, this is going to be implemented, and we've had a discussion about how we feel it's going to be implemented in the future. I'm interested in now in looking at some of the solutions. You know, what do we as young people, what do we as young people feel are some of the solutions to some of the issues that have been raised? Anybody got any specific ideas, comments they wish to make? Up top there.
Yeah, I think it was the first vote of the morning. It came out that a very large majority of people didn't know what on earth the Antisocial Behaviour Bill was at all. Can I just ask whoever it is it's most relevant to, what steps are being taken to actually advertise that it is in effect and that it does exist?
Right, okay. So we'll hold on to that one. What steps are being taken to share this information a lot more widely and the implications of that? Another one?
Do you think there should be free or cheaper activities to stop young people getting into trouble?
Free or cheap activities? Right. I know that'll be part of a solution, I would have thought.
I think I'm not entirely satisfied that we have got all the sort of implications out there, so I think it's very difficult to think of a solution. I mean, there was a lot of public fuss made about the programme about Manchester Metropolitan Police abusing their powers. I mean, do you not think that there's a huge danger that that could happen in a situation like this? And do you not think that there's a danger of the government sort of taking too much control, and we end up in a state where we are talking about things like personal identification cards for everyone in a so-called democracy where public opinion doesn't count when it seems to come to going to war or something like that, where the sexual offences bill is sort of in the process, where the bill we're talking about now, which has become an act. I think there are a lot more implications that we haven't yet covered, so it's very difficult to come up with a solution.
Which is a fair comment. Right. If we start with the last one first, I mean, there is, you're talking about an abuse, potentially, a potential abuse of police powers.
It will affect you financially, but at the end of the day, you have an insurance policy which covers that. We don't have an insurance policy which covers the breach of our civil liberties.
That's a fair point. And then the other point you was making around governments being selective in their use of public opinion, if I put it that way. So in relation to war, you were saying, you know, the public, large proportion of the public were against that, but they didn't listen, and so you're concerned whether they will listen in this area as well. Right, who will start with? Douglas.
Thanks very much for that. Let me take the easy one first.
should there be more accessible and possibly free activities for young people? It's been said before, I think that's ever so important. Let me give an example again and see if that helps. My command unit, so it's a group of several hundred officers that provide policing in a certain part of the city. We got some more money to spend this year on what we do for the public, what we do for the community. We didn't spend a single penny of that extra money on any more police officers. We spent 25% of that money on youth inclusion work. We worked with partners, with the Youth Offending Service, with the Youth Agency, with social services, identifying young people who perhaps didn't have enough to do, who wanted things to do, wanted positive, constructive things to do. And so money allocated to the police has gone towards youth inclusion. Now, I hope that comes as some evidence and reassurance, if you like, that any enforcement has got to come alongside constructive things as well. And we've got a good grasp of that within West Midlands Police today. And if you're interested, I'm sure there'll be a time in the future when we can set out in some detail what we do with young people as opposed to what we do against young people, which is, you know, such a negative way for that to be perceived. Interesting point about can central government take too much control, and that is where policing becomes a difficult job in the country, I think, when it's a case of balancing rights. Interestingly, with this piece of legislation about antisocial behaviour, human rights are protected within the provisions. The power to disperse groups cannot be used in a trade union dispute, and it can also not be used where a group has properly registered its desire to march publicly on any given issue. So there is protection contained within the Act. I'll hand it
okay.
on maybe at that.
One second, sorry. Can I ask Sharon if you could pick up the point around the preventative point, really, around free, cheap and accessible activities for young people?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think there isn't enough recreational activity, and where it's available, often it's expensive or it's not close to where young people live, and that has to be addressed. And I think more money should be put into the youth service as well, because I think they're really important and they've suffered too many cuts. If we're going to talk about prevention, real prevention is giving young people real opportunities, not because they're going to seem to be as potential offenders, but because it should be their right to access good activities and part of growing up and part of helping young people develop social skills and find activities that they enjoy and maybe continue with. I wanted to move on to the point about young people don't know what's in the bill, because there's an awful lot more in this Act that we haven't gone over today. One of the things that really bothers me is that any young person who gets an antisocial behaviour order on them, their names will be given out publicly. Currently, young people's identities are protected in the criminal courts. That won't be the case around antisocial behaviour. You'll see lots more pictures of young people on the front pages of newspapers, on leaflets that are put through the doors of houses in communities, and I think that's a really risky strategy. I think it puts young people at risk, and it also makes life very, very difficult for them. If young people want to sort themselves out and maybe not behave in that way, but they've got a reputation, they've got a label stuck on them, then I think it makes it really difficult for them to start to behave themselves, because people will assume, here comes so-and-so, they're trouble, and things, it might make things get a lot worse. So that's something else that's in the Act that bothers us a lot. And, you know, I'd not like to see young people's identity being exposed. If there is any discretion at all, I think it would it can only make matters worse. And maybe adults who want to take matters into their own hands and sort the young person out, it reveals who they are and in some instances where they live. And I think it's very dangerous.
I just wanted to say a bit about
whose responsibility is to tell young people what's in the bill. I think there is a duty on the local authority, on the antisocial behaviour unit, to do that. There's a lot in here that we haven't been able to cover today, and I'm really disappointed that government didn't take the time or have the respect for young people to tell you before it put this bill through Parliament what it would mean for you.
Ian, what is the antisocial behaviour unit doing or going to do or about to do to raise awareness around this area?
It is a very, very good point. We hadn't planned on any particular way of communicating this act, and your point is very well made, and I take it back, and I think we need to. We are seeking publicity for things that we do, but inevitably and invariably, that publicity isn't available in the mediums that you see or read. I mean, there'll be an article in the Birmingham Post in the new year. Many young people won't read the Birmingham Post. So speaking to you today and taking feedback from you as to how to communicate to you is really useful for me, and I will happily speak to people afterwards or during this debate and take advice as to how we can get that message over. As Sharon said, there is a lot of stuff in this bill that affects young people. There's a lot that perhaps doesn't. I mean, there's the longest section of the bill is to deal with high hedges, you know, so that's a big problem for us. So there are things that we need to speak to young people about, and we need to get the messages over, because as I said before, our role and our aim isn't to come down hard on young people, it's to solve problems, and if we can do that together, then that's the way we'll be successful.
Can I just go back to the original question around, you know, the communication? How do you feel that, what sort of tools or mediums do you think young people read or see that this sort of information can be communicated?
As I say, people do actually watch the news and spread the word of the fact that, you know, I don't know, everyone's on fishing strike or there's a petrol strike or something. The word will get round in just the same way if people start saying on, you know, on a national scale on the news, you know, there is an antisocial behaviour bill in force for under 16s. It's going around. What do you think about it? Once it's been on the news, you know, for long enough, for a week or so, word will get round and people will say, you know, people will start getting up and speaking out about it and, you know, giving their views on what exactly they think about it and what should be done about it.
Would it be good to have had the media here today? I don't know if they were invited, or to have put out a press release about this event.
Yeah.
You know, you do need to get the press interested. Yeah. And I think they would be very interested in the sort of debate we're having here.
I mean, things like radio programmes, like Radio mm-hmm. One does their little bit on, you know, youth issues and what we think. And I don't think I've heard them put across issues like this, because I don't think even they know what on earth's going on.
But we've done quite a lot of work with the media nationally, but that's not... That sort of stuff doesn't often filter through to local radio stations and local newspapers, although I gather I was mentioned in the Express and Star, if anybody knows the Express and Star, about the work we were trying to do on the bill. But it's not enough. And I think, you know, locally, the local authority really could engage with the media. I can imagine some debates going on the radio, you know, where you get residents talking with young people. You could get some... really interesting stories going if you've got them, you know, that someone to put the effort into doing this.
I mean, they were advertising another bill they'd just imposed the other day. Can't remember what it was for, but they imposed another bill a few days ago about something completely different, and word got round about that, you know, quick as everything. Mm. And, you know, that was because it was advertised in the media, on the news, and all of that. And this just hasn't been done in this situation.
Yeah.
I mean, we do media and we do TV and radio on, but it's usually on specific cases, and it is very difficult to engage the media on a subject like this, a sort of a wider subject, because they want the headline of someone's being locked up or someone's got an ASBO on them, and they will use, and I've done stuff where I've done 3-4 minute interviews and they've used 11 seconds of it and they've soundbited it, and it doesn't come across very well at all. But I think it is very important to get the message over, and I think we'll take that back and say, right, we will start to put it on their agendas, because at the moment we tend to work to their requests, if you like, for information. So I think we can take that back and get the message out. And by the way, I'm on Radio 5 tonight at 11:15. So. So it's a sober night for me.
I think what we'll do, we'll ask Douglas a quick comment, then we'll take 2 more comments and that we'll have to close it. But I think that point is... one of the most valid points I've heard today. And in regards to preventative work, a lot of the time, It's just about raising awareness of the implications of behaviours to inform people. And once you've informed people of the implications for certain behaviours, if they choose then to continue down that road, then you are justified in sanctioning them in accordance with the law. So we do need to raise awareness, I would suggest, because I feel that could solve some of the issues and reduce antisocial behaviour by doing just that. Douglas, a comment?
Thanks. We've already integrated this into our school's work. So when we're trying to work with young people and share an understanding, this will come out, as will a whole range of other issues. I think it is reasonable that West Midlands Police put a public statement out to say, this is our interpretation. I mean, I've been able to share with you today, this isn't a blanket ban that will come in on the 1st of April and means that nobody under 16 can move about after 9 o'clock. It's going to have to be really targeted. I imagine it will be used very, very sparingly. Now, that message, I think, should be shared with everyone, because that's the West Midlands Police view, and I know the Chief Constable shares that view. So I think we can go to the media and put out a public statement and hopefully get some coverage about that. The last thing I wanted to say was, not all of this is negative. If young people feel so unsafe, feel so victimised, do you not want the police to do something about that? I'm sure I could put to you today real-life examples about intimidation that young people face moving around their own communities. Those young people, understandably, want the police to do something about it. Some of them might say that proportionately they want us to use some of these powers, and they might be right. So the responsibility everyone in the room has got is to understand what's available, what can be done, and to make your views known. But we very much take the message that young people feel victimised, don't feel safe. That's not good for any community, and we are intent on doing something about that. But it's not all negative. Look for the positive as well.
Right, okay, thank you. We're going to take the final two comments then for this particular section. We've got Cam on one hand, and the young man down here. Who can get the last word? No, I'll have the last word, I think.
The answers you've given us so far have been kind of conditional and hypothetical. And the thing that I think is that, I mean, you, for example, have a clear-cut insurance policy which says, if this happens, you will be covered. You haven't actually given us a clear definition of what antisocial behaviour is. And at the same time, you know, what is our concrete insurance that we, as innocent people, aren't sort of picked up for things that perhaps, you know, we find completely justifiable?
Can I just add, I think it's a valid point that you make, but I think in our group, one of the questions I asked was about responsibility, young people's responsibility, our own individual personal responsibilities. And I sincerely believe that individuals know that yoga is impacting negatively upon somebody else. I don't think that there needs to, yes, in regards to the act and the bill, there needs to be a specific definition. But in regards to your own personal beliefs, your integrity, your values, that is something that's instilled in you already and is something that you will continue to grow. And so you know what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable behavior to you and what is not acceptable to you. So if I say, that's where I see, is it acceptable behavior to treat you in this way or not?
But, I mean, isn't that different for each person, for each individual? And therefore, how do you give that definition, and how will you practically go about implementing this? Because if that definition is different for everyone, that's not a bill that you can enforce sort of around the country.
I mean, your points are valid, and, you know, we can have further discussions in a little while, but your point's valid, and I think that's something that's important that does need to go back, because if we are looking to enforce something enforce something in regards to legislation, then it does need to be specific. So that point is well made. Young man over here.
Okay, thank you. I think a lot of this discussion's been aimed towards the police, and in my opinion, I don't really think that that's perhaps fair. I think the police are only there really to enforce it. I think also we shouldn't concentrate just on how to enforce it, but how to persuade, as opposed to force people to, you know, abide by it. So I think probably out of the panel, the gentleman in the middle would probably be most associated with that. But I think youth clubs and things like that should be initiated, and more sort of innovative sort of creative groups for young children to get involved with. Our panel, well, not our panel, but our group, said that, you know, if they had a choice, they wouldn't roam the streets. I can't really see any great attraction for the streets other than that they've got nothing else to do. So perhaps if things like that could be started. I think the police are there really to enforce it, and perhaps they're getting the bad press from this, which isn't necessarily fair. But I think in general, it should be more about how to you know, get people to get off the streets.
Thank you very much. I think that was a fitting last word. It's not down to the police. It's not all the police. I think it's down to all of us, and you know, the legislation has been implemented, so it is down to all of us, not only as professionals but as individuals, as citizens, to try and address these issues without having to go down the road of sanction. I think sanction is going to be the last resort, and we have to take collective responsibility for our behaviours and our peers' behaviours in our communities. You know, I think that is the way to go. That is the end of our particular session. Can I thank the panel member, Chief Superintendent Douglas Paxton, Ian McGibbon and Sharon Moore. Can you thank them, please? Right, that's all from me. I'm going to hand back to Jacob and Cam, who will take us through to the close. Thanks.